the Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com. Welcome to Breaking the Silence with author and host Carla St. Rose Ryan. This provocative and empowering show provides victims, survivors, and loved ones an open forum to not only reach out for help, but to offer help to others who are suffering from abuse. Now, here's your host, Carla.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome again to another episode of Breaking the Silence. This is Carla St. Rose Ryan. And today, I am joined by a wonderful author, Mr. Albert Clayton Golden, the author of You're Not Who You Think You Are, A Blueprint for Retrieving Your Authentic Self. I thought we should bring this gentleman on today because for those people who have survived trauma, abuse, sexual abuse, child abuse, and other forms of abuse and have other very serious and traumatic issues, what he has to say about where we can go as we move past some of our issues, well, for me or for Albert as you hear our discussion, please tell us why you wrote You're Not Who You Think You Are.
Well, Carla, first, thanks for having me on your show. You know, it's kind of interesting that I'm coming on Breaking the Silence because I think that why I wrote You're Not Who You Think You Are was because I had to break a silence. You know, the book came about because from childhood forward until I got sober, I was living a life either that somebody else told me that I should live, or then when booze became kind of like the rapacious ruler of my life, that was sort of a 20-year twilight zone. But I really wrote You're Not Who You Think You Are because having gotten in touch with some principles, you know, through my high self, I was able to really put myself through an inventory of my life and find out that I was living a lie. In other words, I'm going to give a few examples. I mean, I was raised in Christianity and yet, in my case, I never really believed in Jesus. And so I was even a ministerial student pastoring churches in South Alabama. And, you know, it's not now today that I don't believe. What it was I had a lot of problems with ministers and dogma people who were trying to tell me how to pray and what to think and what to believe in. But I went through that whole experience, and for years, mm-hmm. people never had a clue that I didn't believe. Okay. So the book really came about, I think, in two ways. I think one of them was having lived a long and painful life and having to eventually pick up booze, allowing me to leave the ministry, and through that 20-year run, alcohol certainly was not going to tell me who I was, because there's nothing that will make you more grandiose than a belly full of booze. But when I got sober, you know, at 41, I was in the great discovery at that time. And the book really picks up when I learned how to access in a mind-to-mind way my high self or my God self. And, you know, that part of me, like we all have an ego, but we all have a high self. And my high self identified himself as Paul. And so Paul was the one who really knew me and not only knew me, but knew the pain that I had been through and led me to higher ground and safer ground. And, you know, the rest, as they say, is history. But, you know, I want to say this. In my background was certainly some abuse. And so I understand what that is. I understand, I call it rat holes of shame, where we hide out there and we pretend, we put on a mask, we pretend to be something that we're not. We act as if something is not bothering us. And, you know, when you hit bottom like I did and there was no place to go but to recovery rooms and to get honest through a sponsor. That was the route I took, and then in a meditation I hooked up with my high self, Paul, and, you know, here I am today. I mean, I have a great life, a great, great life.
One of the things that I'd like you to try to, you know, of course, I know you can explain, is what is a transpersonal counselor?
A transpersonal psychologist, it really comes out of the work of people like Carl Jung, and it's where people like me rely far more on the intuition in the therapy arena than book learning. Mm-hmm. Now, you know that I'm founding director of the Sedona Intensive,
yes,
which is, quite frankly, one of the premier personal growth programs in the country, and we deal with everything from abuse and grief and alcoholism and drug addiction. I want to change jobs, this marriage isn't working, do I go or do I stay? But when we have a couple of psychologists who are university trained and who are doctors of psychology, and that's their specialty. But I have a background in psychology, but using my 12-step model, and, you know, I can tell you from the first person, whoever did my chart or whoever did an intuition, you know, I don't like the word psychic, session with me, told me I was born that way. And the truth of the matter is, and it's in my book, You're Not Who You Think You Are, from 3, 4, or 5 years of age, I saw dead people and heard voices. Mm-hmm. Well, as I got sober, I began to really understand that this intuition was giving me a rich entry into the counseling that I did with patients and clients. So it really, transpersonal really means that you're relying on something other than textbook learned modalities of therapy or counseling. And, you know, in my case, it's the intuition that is so much a part of it, and that I rely so heavily on.
So that assists you in assessing when you have someone face-to-face.
Yes.
That intuition really helps you to, I'm assuming, clear away a lot of what I believe is the masking most of us do.
Yeah, but let me give you an example. You know, we were talking earlier about you being an Aries. Mm-hmm. Now, if you were sitting in front of me, or, you know, that when they do it by the telephone, they send a photograph, because remember, I'm relying on mixing astrology with psychology, Jungian psychology. I'm intuitive. I've been tested. I read voice imprint that I learned in the last 35 years. And when I see a photograph or a person, when they're here with me, I read their light. So when you sit in front of me, I have to know what part of Aries you're drawing from. Because not all Aries are going to climb mountains, ford streams, and say, get out of my way. I never follow, I always lead. There are those people that have some difficulties in their chart that indicate that, which, like a doctor reading an x-ray, a radiologist, I would know that, you know, this is a problem but not terminal. And I would also know from my own intuition, because I'm sitting in front of the person, or, you know, long distance I can pick up, like I'm doing with you today on the phone. So I feel that intuition, and I really hope we can make that the star of the show and forget me as a personality, because if people don't learn to intuit what's right for them, you're always going to be, you know, under the lash of everybody. You know, I have a problem when people give their power away to certain people that have big television shows, and if she doesn't tell them what to read and what to think, they don't know. Or we get into the political arena, and it's either the Republicans or the Democrats. I say, hold both feet to their feet to the fire, you know, their feet to the fire. So what I'm really trying to say is that, you know, I'm here in Fort Lauderdale in a longevity program, and people walk up to me, do you know that I can read them instantly? Hmm. Now, to refine it and to get to it more quickly, I pick up a birth chart.
Okay.
And using the intuition with the psychology and that and the voice imprint and intuition, boy, when they leave, they're humming or real mad that I found them in a rat hole of shame and I smoked them out of it.
Okay. Quite, now you're prompting a question from me. You've really directed out a number of things. You know, I don't want to say total lack of faith in traditional dogma, as you call it. I agree with you. How did that all come about for you? I mean, you know, how did, what happened to get you to the place where you really started examining some of that stuff?
Okay, can I tell you?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
All right. All right, you asked the question, I'm going to tell you. When I was 19 years old, I went to visit, I was a visiting minister in a South Alabama rural church, and I went with another student, and that's how these poor little churches get a minister. They come on Sunday, and they preach at noon, and they preach in the evening, and then we drive back to school. I was walking kind of in the cornfields, if you will, and I asked a woman, I said, why do we never visit over? And I pointed to a house, and she said, preacher, they're a bunch of drunks. I'm telling you, when she said that, I was electrocuted inside of me like I'd been hit by lightning. And to me, that was my trigger that, you know, Albert, so are you. And I looked at her, and she looked like a gargoyle to me, like her lips turned up, and, you know, I could see excess fat on her hips, you know, and I thought, boy, this woman really needs to go home and take her own inventory. And you know what? I was at the end of the school year. I went back to school, and I quit. I quit it all. And looking back, I can tell you that some part of me was triggered by that. And, of course, you know, I'm one that believes in karma. You know, I tell people I'm the karma kid, mm-hmm. where I believe that everything that happens in our lives now mm-hmm. is contingent on the lives we lived in the past.
Right.
I mean, you know, I need to say this, Carla, because it's kind of funny. When I deal with people, I say, well, there's here and there's there.
Right.
Now, I always say this with the Greek people because I say, you know, your husband, your mother, she's there. Now, that there is the real world.
Right.
And here is where it's devolving faster than the speed of light.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, quit holding on to this because one day you'll go there, you'll get your report card, and they'll say, got to send you back. Or, guess what? You can stay and you can be a guardian angel to others struggling because you have passed the test that you're more connected to.
We're going to take a quick break. I apologize to you, Albert. We'll be coming back shortly. We'll take a break.
Have you ever thought about having your own internet talk show? Well, if you said yes, then click About Us. Then click Be a Host to get more information. Or just call Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417.
Say that again.
480-294-6417. VoiceAmerica.com.
Albert Einstein once said, "Nothing happens until something moves." Well, your movement towards realizing a dream, making a long-lasting change to your life, or simply putting a daily smile on your face is just a click away. Tune into Maximizing Life with Scott Chesney and Free Your Mind, Open Your Heart, and Ignite Action in Your Life. Host and commander in change, empowerment coach, and international speaker, Scott Chesney shares his insights to making the most out of your daily lives. Scott interviews people who are maximizing their lives, the most recognizable transformationalists and leaders around the world, as well as those hometown heroes that move, touch, and inspire the best in all of us. Stay tuned into Maximizing Life for Scott's one-on-one coaching with callers. Maximizing Life with Scott Chesney, broadcast each Monday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America channel. Maximizing Life with Scott Chesney, inspiring you to live life with passion, purpose, and limitless potential.
Land of Broken Toys. One woman's journey from horrific childhood to a safe and sane adulthood. Carla shares some of her life's toughest lessons and recounts her struggle to rise above her abusive childhood. Her story is a cautionary tale of what can happen to a child in their own home.
In their own home.
In their own home.
I'm like a bird.
Your copy today at www.landofbrokentoys.com or amazon.com. That's www.landofbrokentoys.com. The book serves as a wake-up call and guide to mothers, parents, and society to protect the basic human rights of child citizens of the world. Land of Broken Toys by Carla St. Rose Ryan. Order your copy today and learn how you can help to put an end to the abuse of innocence. If you're an organization, please contact Carla at carla@landofbrokentoys.com for seminars and speaking engagements. Land of Broken Toys.
Have you ever thought about having your own internet talk show? Well, if you said yes, then click About Us. Then click Be a Host to get more information. Or just call Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417.
Say that again.
480-294-6417. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Breaking the Silence with host Carla St. Rose Ryan. If you have a question or a story for Carla, please feel free to email her at carla@landofbrokentoys.com. And she'll share your letters live next week. Now, back to the show. Here's Carla.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, today I have with me Albert Clayton Golden, author of You're Not Who You Think You Are. And Albert, we're going to pick up where we left off. You were filling us in on how you came to some of the conclusions you did about dogma. So I'm going to let you continue.
Well, and so the thing was that when I left that ministry and that college, you know, and some of it was, needing to pay for college. You know, we didn't have all the loans from the government back then, so I did go to work. I went into pre-law and finally went to another college, but I think that right there, and you know, soon after that, I picked up booze and alcoholic. I mean, for me, first drink, first drunk. So, I think that a lot of what I had been repressing all of my life just came pouring out, and you know, and not always doing things, in the most judicious manner. But you know, it eventually led me to the freedom. And that's one of the things that I want to share with people that are listening. You know, no matter where your journey takes you, somebody was telling me last night, with all the trouble that he had, he considered that part of his spiritual path. And I said, yeah, that's true. I think you need to discern between what's going toward the light and what's digging you into a deeper, dark hole. But I do believe that the years in which I drank alcoholically and then the years right after I got sober, I think that the drinking was tear the world apart, and I think the sobriety was having God rebuild my life the way he wanted it to be and me doing what he wanted me to do.
Absolutely. We have a caller with us, Henry. Henry, are you there with us?
Yes, I'm here, Carla. It's been very interesting listening to this gentleman.
Okay. What are your questions, thoughts, if you'd want to join in with us and sure, what do you want to ask Albert, or even what you'd like to ask me?
Well, it's been very interesting listening to Albert. I think there is something to the intuition concept, but I don't think we're anywhere close to figuring out what it is. Maybe we shouldn't. Maybe that's something, you know, one of those things that we should just leave the mystery unexplored, lest it lose its mystery. But you were like you were saying, you could even talk to somebody on the phone, you know, 1,000 miles away. You can still get those vibrations.
Well, in a minute, if you stay on the phone long enough, I'll try to be intuitive with you. But what I want to say is that I went through a lot of downtime, silent time, meditative time. I took awareness classes. I mean, there were, my journey was, you know, very wide and very deep, and I mean, I just know
sort of like
distinctly
the heat
for
and fire
me,
tempers a piece of steel.
I beg your pardon?
Sort of like heat and fire tempers a piece of steel, I guess, huh?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, you know, there are a lot of lies told in the world, and the greatest lie, and I always dispel it when I do media, is that a woman's intuition, and I say, are you cracked? You know, Carl Jung talked about the shadow, and within every woman is the reflection of a man, and within every man is the reflection of a woman. So there goes, only women are intuitive. But I feel that you have to seek it a bit, and you have to say, in my case, the world that I've been taught is a lie for me. And I have to know that I can pay taxes, and we live in a democracy. I can vote one side of the aisle or the other. I, myself, I choose not to go to organized church. I'm a Vedantist. I have a guru, a faith out of India, but it's more of a philosophy than a religion. But I really would like to know the truth for me, and the way that I got free of entangling alliances and snares of the world was to let my intuition tell me for myself. For instance, I make a lot of people mad who get really politically charged, and I say Democrats and Republicans are the same. I don't mean necessarily one wants war and one doesn't in the current politics, but I think they are all the same. I think they have the agenda of really building up through self-aggrandizement a big piece of stuff they make of themselves, and they like to be able to control things. But I don't know.
I'm afraid you're right. It's more about the power than it is about what.
Yeah, and I don't think we have. I mean, Thomas Jefferson and those guys are long dead, and I think that we've had ego and narcissism that's blossomed so rampantly. So I'm only saying these things to let you know that intuition saved me by having myself go inside and be self-legislated.
Gotcha. Now, Albert, here's the thing. So many of the people who are listening are people who, you know, have experienced some of the things you have with the abuse, with sexual abuse, child abuse. You know, some women have been exposed to physical violence from a spouse or a boyfriend or what have you, and some men as well. They've gone through this thing, are traumatized by it. The question, because you are huge on forgiveness, and the role that plays, and for lack of a better word, in making you well, can you speak to that? And Henry, I apologize to you. Stay with us, you know, and any other questions you have, you know, jump right in. But talk to us, Albert, about how does one, you know, get to the place where forgiveness, real forgiveness, will transcend and change and shift the life that they have.
I remember when we started this, you asked me how I came to write that book.
Yeah.
And I told you when we were off air that, you know, I would rather somebody tell me their story. When I got into recovery, I was in about 3 years, and I've been sober going on 28 years. I said, all I have is my story. Well, I write books that tell my story, and I write my failures. I write the in conclusions that I went down, you know, even sober, a wrong path. But I can tell you, the only way that I got into a period of grace and forgiveness through grace was that I had early teachers. Right after I left the ministry, I started my spiritual quest, and, you know, first you run into a psychic, and, you know, I kind of weaned myself away from that, because I think a lot of people that do that, like that, you know, sometimes they can get into transference or projection. But when I began to study, and I studied everybody, the wisest teachers that I had, when I would complain, so-and-so abused me when I was 9.
Right.
So-and-so abused me when I was a teenager. You know what the teacher said to me? You did this to someone sometime, somewhere, in some life. You must forgive yourself. Now listen to how I'm saying that. Forgive yourself, because these teachers led me to believe that I was a perpetrator first, somewhere in time, mm-hmm. and then I came back and I had to experience that. The very first teacher I had told me, when you come to the planet Earth, every single thing you've ever done to harm or to hallow other people will be returned to you. And I can tell you, when I learned to forgive every single part of me that other people represented in my life, you know, that I said, oh, poor little old me, poor little victim. Yeah, the first couple of times somebody said that to me, I said, but you don't understand. You don't know what it was like and whatever. And the person would say, did you come to me for a solution? Or do you want to keep that lame leg dragging through life? Mm-hmm. And I said, I want to heal. And then they repeated what I've just said. Ask forgiveness for yourself that each of those people represent. And then you can forgive them. Now, let me give you a first step to that, which I do in the Sedona Intensive. If you've had people, I'm just going to take your parents, siblings, maybe teachers and bosses, an ex-wife, children, some people that you feel have harmed you on the ladder of success or failure, or whatever, then I'll allow you and encourage you to write a rage letter. Boy, you just rage, and that ego has more fun just really tearing your mother apart. If you read my book, which you mm-hmm. did, mm-hmm. you know that I really came unglued to my mother when I was still drinking, and, you know, I've forgiven that part of me that did that and forgave the part of me that she represented that I was angry at. And today I call my father and my mother two great teachers, but I didn't for most of my life. So I feel that if you don't find forgiveness, remember what I said, forgive yourself mm-hmm. that these people represent. You've
we,
done those things
we'll be
sometimes.
We'll take a break right now. I apologize once again. We'll be taking a break.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Wine and Women is not your boring wine geek show. It is rather a fresh, fast-paced approach featuring interesting stories and entertaining segments about wine and wine-related topics through a warm and chatty format that will appeal especially to women, men optional. Hosted by wine connoisseurs and luxury lifestyle experts Julie Brosterman, Lisa Kring, Sharon Borstin, and Jeanette Oku, Wine and Women takes listeners to Napa, Sonoma, and other wine regions worldwide to meet the best as well as the newest winemakers, to restaurants to meet top chefs and sommeliers, to wine-themed spas, wine country getaways, even into supermarket wine aisles where Women and Wine Angels swoops down and helps shoppers to get their wine picks and more. Women and Wine broadcasts each Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America channel. Women and Wine, enjoying life one sip at a time.
Land of broken toys. One woman's journey from horrific childhood to a safe and sane adulthood. Carla shares some of her life's toughest lessons and recounts her struggle to rise above her abusive childhood. Her story is a cautionary tale of what can happen to a child in their own home.
In their own home.
In their own home.
I'm like a bird. I don't need to fly away.
Your copy today at www.landofbrokentoys.com or amazon.com. That's www.landofbrokentoys.com. The book serves as a wake-up call and guide to mothers, parents, and society to protect the basic human rights of child citizens of the world. Land of Broken Toys by Carla St. Rose Ryan. Order your copy today and learn how you can help to put an end to the abuse of innocence. If you're an organization information, please contact Carla at carla@landofbrokentoys.com for seminars and speaking engagements. Land of Broken Toys. Have you ever thought about having your own internet talk show? Well, if you said yes, then click About Us. Then click Be a Host to get more information. Or just call Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417.
Say that again.
480-294-6417. VoiceAmerica.com. You're listening to Breaking the Silence with host Carla St. Rose Ryan. If you have a question or a story for Carla, please feel free to email her at carla@landofbrokentoys.com. And she'll share your letters live next week. Now, back to the show. Here's Carla.
Welcome back to Breaking the Silence, everyone. I'm your host, Carla St. Rose Ryan, and I'm still with this wonderful gentleman, Albert Clayton Golden. You're Not Who You Think You Are is the title of his book, A Blueprint for Retrieving Your Authentic Self.
And you know, Carla, they can buy that by calling or emailing us at our office, SedonaIntensive.com. Because, I mean, it really is, we've gotten a lot of great feedback from that book.
Oh, fantastic. I've read it, and I think it is one of the most wonderful tools, and I will be rereading it again. Let's pick up where we left off, because we're talking about the issues of forgiveness and how people move to the place where they can forgive.
All right. Remember, I really wanted to share this. I'm going to share two quick things, and you can comment. First of all, I worked with a woman in a southern city, and she came to me, and when I got into in the first 10 minutes, you know, through the intuition, that she was carrying a heavy burden, and I said, I feel like you've been violated in some way. Well, she just started crying and pouring out that she had been raped in a parking garage about 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock after having a company dinner. And she was so upset that she sat in her car sobbing. And this was before, you know, cell phones were so popular and prevalent. And he came back and raped her again. Well, she worked with me for a while, and I listened. She had been, you know, she'd had in-care help in a couple of institutions, and she'd been in psychotherapy. And by the time I got her, you know, this had happened going on 3 years, and she was still stuck in that place. Now, I eventually was able to ask her if I could let her listen to me while I put her under light meditation, and she said yes. So I went back through all of this, and I brought her a couple past lives when she had been the perpetrator and someone else had been what we call, I don't use the word victim. And, you know, it was really hard for her, and she came back several days, and we worked by phone because I didn't live in that city. But I'm going to tell you something. She told me what I've told your listeners. She said, I was able to heal when I forgave that part of me that the rapist represented. And she said, for some reason, one night I fell asleep and had a good night's sleep, and I did not wake up crying and shaking and angry. And she said, over time, she really was able to forgive that part of herself and then forgive him. Now, I'm going to tell you another old story that Carolyn Mace tells in one of her books. She was having lunch with some guys, and she needed for someone to do a conference, and a woman came up and joined them. And so they said, would you be available at 5 o'clock tomorrow to lead an encounter group? It was this workshop Carolyn was doing. And the woman said no. She said, that's when my incest group meets. And she went on and spent 20 minutes weeping and crying and carrying on. And so when the guys left, Carolyn May said, how long ago did this happen? And the woman said, 18 years ago. And Carolyn just climbed her clock. And she goes on to say to her readers, you know what, if you're carrying this around, and if you're still weeping and crying, and you can't get through the week without that incest group, she said, you know, you need more than therapy. You might need a little lobotomy help. But I just really have to say that there's nothing in life, if you're still breathing, that is so traumatic that you cannot get through it and move through it. Nothing.
Question. For the people who are hearing this and who have an incredibly tough time grasping what you're saying, can you, in layman's terms, I know you've done layman's terms very well for those of us who don't fully get the scope of what you're saying, but for somebody who is, you know, a rape victim or has survived a trauma like childhood abuse, who they're just stuck in it. They're just, you know, it's not that they want it. They don't necessarily want to revisit those moments, but they find themselves back there. What does
first of all, let me say this. I think that if you're stuck there, and you know, this woman was only in this situation 2.5 or 3 years, mm-hmm. and for her, shortly after I came in, remember, she'd done a lot of work mm-hmm. in two hospitals, and she'd probably had a pretty decent psychiatrist or psychoanalyst. But by the time I got her, she was ready. She was ready to move to the next level.
Right.
And so I'm only saying, as the story that I quoted from Carolyn Mace's, one of her books, you know, 18 years is a long time to still be beating up yourself and whoever did what to whom.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that you have to go through the process with someone who's very skilled at being able to know what they hear when they listen and also what they see when they look. You know, when I look at you when you're in therapy with me, you know, you tell me a lot by how your body language is with the things that you're saying. But I think that a person has to really understand. Now I'm going to introduce a new word, and a new person, a new entity, and that's the ego. The ego really likes to use the sad sack, the real, look what life has done to me, to keep a person unforgiven. And, you know, you can say what you want to say about how angry somebody is, no matter what the circumstances, but it's somebody that hadn't forgiven themselves. I mean, I talk to women all the time who've had date rape, who've had back to that old incest in the family, you know, which is far more prevalent than people understand.
Right.
And it's really a shame issue. And so what you have to do is shore the person up. I mean, I don't start with, oh, in a past life, you did this to somebody else, so you got to face it. Mm-hmm. That's not where I start. I start with the person as long as they need, not 18 years.
Hopefully
reviewing
not.
Reviewing this, going over this, talking about it. And then I have them learn how to meditate, to get some peace, to be able to explore with some past life regression work, inventory. You know, writing about something is very, very freeing. But also I think some groups selectively are good. But I feel that a person needs to hear me say today that after a reasonable period of time, and it varies for all people,
sure.
You know, back to astrology, a Capricorn and a Virgo will hold on to it a lot quicker than our friend here, Carla the Aries. You know, Aries and Sagittarians seem to dust themselves off a lot quicker. Some of the earth signs get stuck, and, you know, I'm a Pisces. A Pisces can be, oh, poor me, look what the world's doing to me. Well, boy, I can tell you, ask people who know me, I never say that. I was in New York for 9-1-1. Do you think that I said, poor me, look what those terrorists are doing? I said to Scott, my business partner, what did I do to create this? Who do you know that said that? Every single thing, I say, what is this teaching me? Everything.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. If I may jump in and say this, most of us do not, because of what we've been taught quite often, ever ask the question, what am I learning from this? You know, what's the education here? Where's the lesson?
Well, let me tell you something. You had me on your show today because, listen, I'm a human being like everybody else. I happen to be in my 60s, and I happen to also have written a book about how I became authentic. I mean, that's not the title of the book, but I was throwing the gauntlet down to people who wanted to read it. You're not who you think you are. No, there's a lot of work to be done. You know, you have to break the code with believing everything your parents told you or believing everything in the region in which you were raised. Listen, Southerners have improved a great deal, and I'm sure you're going to have listeners from the South, but when I was growing up, listen, I was probably more of a black face than I was the white man that I am because I really related. I mean, I was a civil rights person, but more silently because afraid of the retribution from those people that were trying to use bulldogs and bull whips. So,
well, there's some real physical consequences for standing up, too. So.
Yeah, there are, but listen to me. Grow up, get with it, mm-hmm. challenge yourself, go to the next level, and let me tell you something. Every one of us, except liars, have a lot of difficulty in our lives. And every single thing that's been difficult has taught me far more than the ease in my life. You know, I'm sitting here in Florida in a longevity center because I was eating too much lemon meringue pie and eating too much meat. Now I'm learning no salt, no sugar, no meat. Don't you love that at my age? Well, don't you love it? So if I'm going to be out there saying, let me help you find out who you really are, my newsletter this month is going to be Dateline Pritikin. You know, I mean, I'm telling you, I'll say anything about myself, and I don't care what people won't say about themselves. Mm-hmm. If I make a mistake, I hope to do it on State Center.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, Albert, we're going to be taking a short break. I hope listeners will be returning with us. I'm sure they will. This is fantastic.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Land of broken toys. One woman's journey from horrific childhood to a safe and sane adulthood. Carla shares some of her life's toughest lessons and recounts her struggle to rise above her abusive childhood. Her story is a cautionary tale of what can happen to a child in their own home.
In their own home.
In their own home.
I'm like a bird. I'll only fly away. I don't know where my soul is.
Order your copy today at www.landofbrokentoys.com or amazon.com. That's www.landofbrokentoys.com. The book serves as a wake-up call and guide to mothers, parents, and society to protect the basic human rights of child citizens of the world. Land of Broken Toys by Carla St. Rose Ryan. Order your copy today and learn how you can help to put an end to the abuse of innocence. If you're an organization, please contact Carla at carla@landofbrokentoys.com for seminars and speaking engagements. Land of Broken Toys.
Here's a show for baseball players, coaches, parents, and those who love the game. At least 90% of sports success, including baseball, requires mental strength in order to fully benefit from technical ability. And the higher the competition level, the more critical it becomes to possess mental muscle. Tune in every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time to Championship Thinking, hosted by Jim Meyer, and brought to you by the National High School Baseball Coaches Association. Jim, sports psychology coach, trainer, and author of numerous articles and the workbook, Championship Thinking, Building Mental Muscle in Baseball, simplifies the mental game with easy-to-understand tools and tips. With his weekly guests, Jim draws from successes with professionals, college, high school, and youth teams, coaches, and players. Learn how to remain confident and focused at crunch time, when pressure, tension, and anxiety like to make an uninvited appearance. Tune in and tune up your mental and technical knowledge and skills with Championship Thinking every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on America's Voice, Voice America.
Have you ever thought about having your own internet talk show? Well, if you said yes, then click About Us. Then click Be a Host to get more information. Or just call Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417.
Say that again.
480-294-6417. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Breaking the Silence with host Carla St. Rose Ryan. If you have a question or a story for Carla, please feel free to email her at carla@landofbrokentoys.com. And she'll share your letters live next week. Now, back to the show. Here's Carla.
Welcome back, everyone, to Breaking the Silence. This is Carla St. Rose Ryan, and I am still with Mr. Albert Clayton Golden, author of You're Not Who You Think You Are, A Blueprint for Retrieving Your Authentic Self. I am thoroughly enjoying this interview, probably a little too much, but I do want to ask you, Albert, to please, two things. One, tell us about the Sedona Institute, the work that you guys do there.
It's called the Sedona Intensive.
The Sedona Intensive
this October will be 26 years old, and we have a team of about 11 therapists who have their own practices in Sedona. I mean, I had this dream when I moved to Sedona. I mean, it was kind of like a meditative, altered state, driving into town, and I just heard this voice that I hear all the time that said, bring people to Sedona, do not put them in an institution, have it being wellness without walls, interview all these therapists, make sure it's a body, mind, and spirit kind of thing, but always put them through a deep inventory, get the rage out of them, get the forgiveness into them, and give them 12 weeks of aftercare with a licensed person. Now, that's what I did, and I'm telling you right now, it works like a charm. They fly into Phoenix, rent a car, come up to Sedona, and depending upon whether they want to stay at the top of the line hotel or a more cost-efficient inn or a motel, then they check in and then start an orientation, and then they see a maximum of about 7 of the 11 we have, including me, every day. And it's really an integrated program, and, you know, I've already said that sometimes it's about financial issues or grief or alcohol, drugs, bad marriage, a doctor who wants to wrangle cattle in Montana but doesn't know how to get there. You know, and on our website it lists the whole litany of things that we do. And the wild thing about all this is that recidivism in treatment centers is probably so high that I wouldn't want to scare people because I want them to get help anywhere that they can.
Yes.
But our success rate is over 60%. And I'm talking about people with alcohol and drug problems. And I'm also talking about people that come determined to divorce, who go home and 10 or 15 years later, they're still married because it wasn't the other person that was the problem. Each of us is our own problem. And once we clear ourselves and the other mate and spouse clears herself or himself, then we can stay married because we got rid of the problems that we drug into the marriage to begin with. But I would say that the Sedona Intensive is really special because, my God, where is there any place any more special than Red Rock Country with that, the Canyon of Vortexes, which is, you know, that energy that geologists can measure. They're either electric, which is masculine, or magnetic, which is feminine, or electromagnetic, which is androgynous. Mm-hmm. And so they do meditative hikes in these canyons, and they go to an open 12-step meeting every morning, and they see a psychologist. They do the inventory with me. They go to network chiropractic. They go to Pilates. They go to yoga. They learn to meditate. If they really are challenged with weight. They have a trainer. They all get a pass to the gym so they can do cardio and swim and jacuzzi and sauna. I mean, it's a total body, mind, and spirit program, plus 12 weeks of aftercare once they leave with a licensed person.
So this is a comprehensive, total, you just said it, body, mind, spirit.
Yeah, and the thing is, everybody comes for a week, but I can tell you, I would say 25 to 30% of the people do 2 weeks or more. This is very unusual. But I had a woman that stayed several months. She had, at the bottom of the heap, she had a lot of dough. She said, I spent a lot of money being sick. Let me spend a little bit more getting well. But we have people that have drug problems. We had a guy move into Sedona, and he did maybe 2 or 3 or 4 months over a year period. But 3 years later, he's still straight and sober, and he had a crystal meth problem. I mean, these are just kind of the random things that we have. A kid at 18 had been on marijuana and booze since he was 14, had rings everywhere, and, you know, if they have a beard, I tell them to shave. If they have shaggy hair, I say, let's go to the barber. And if they have rings, I say, take them out. Mm-hmm. I try to bring them into the common denominator of their issue. Mm-hmm. And we had a kid that was there, I think it's now 4 years ago. He's back in college making good grades, hadn't had a drink or a drug. Had been in 3 or 4 treatment centers.
If I can say this, it seems like part and parcel two of what you're doing is really compelling this person to present themselves.
My God, when you sit in front of me, and I'm going to use a birth chart and union psychology, my intuition, voice imprint, and the light you emanate or radiate, and I can get you hook, line, and sinker in 10 minutes, where is that Iran? I mean, you know, you didn't come there in handcuffs. You know, people come there of their own free will. And remember, and this is very important for the listener to understand, I have a little challenge hour on the phone with the person to determine it's to do kind of a diagnosis of the condition of the person, and it's an evaluation. Mm-hmm. And that's always, they never come until I say green light or you're not ready or next.
Right. Gotcha. You know, Henry's still with us.
Okay,
Henry?
Let's get Henry.
Are you still
Henry?
There? I think we may have lost him. But continue with some of the other things that you do. And if someone else calls in, we'll take them as well.
Well, what I do a lot is that I go on panels. You know, I just did one with that fella from The Secret. He was the minister from...
Michael Beckwith.
Michael Beckwith, Agape Church in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Nice man. I mean, it was like a little bit, you know, he's got that hallelujah part of him. They sing and whatever. Well, when it's my turn, you know, I get up and I say, well, here comes your rainy day, and people laugh, and I do a little some drawings, and I call it the un-you and the real you, and I do little bubble things, and I say, well, for all you feminists out there, and they laugh. You see, I laugh at myself, and I get people to laugh at themselves, because, listen, I tell everybody, you know, you don't know this, but you've come to the beach, and we're going to get in a big old sandbox over here, and the little kids inside of us that never got to express themselves, they have open mic here. And, you know, throughout the thing, I say, would you let me pause here and put a period, and then raise your hand, and I'll answer it. And if I can't answer it, I'll say, can I get back to you? I even do this on television. And I say, oh, yeah, can I come back to that question 10 minutes ago? I finally got the hoods, the great white brother to light, you know, my antenna high enough, that I got an answer that I think that I can put my name on, you know, so.
Okay. Now, one of the other things that I wanted to address with you was the ego and the high self. I know, coming back to that.
Well, the ego is born with us. You know, the three selves in Kahuna, the low self is the ego, the middle self is the mediator, and the high self is the God self. I call my God self Paul. That's how I identify himself. Well, the ego self in Joseph Campbell's story of the fallen angel is that, you know, one of the angels went and said to God, I want to play God or be God or whatever. He said, no, sir. And so he took his minions and left. And that's how the earth was created, for a planet or an area of redemption. That's why I talk about here is here, and there is there, and there is the real place. So I feel that if we don't die to ego and be reborn, precious child of God, we're always going to be stuck in who we're not. We're going to act like what we're not. Mm-hmm. We're going to do all those things that feeds the ego. I've named two ad infinitum, drugs and alcohol. Here I am in Florida, food, gambling, shopaholic, sex. You know, there's a lot of sexual addiction. If you don't believe it, call the porno industry.
Mm-hmm.
But all of those things are the things that feed the ego. Now, the precious child of God is only found when you turn and you... I get my clients to say it out loud, ego, are you a devil who chases me or an angel who's come to help me? And in that moment, by natural law, the ego has to die. You have to do that frequently because, you know, the ego gives up earlier than we do. So you've got to challenge it, and you've got to get it to shape-shift back until, like a child, he learns to eat his peas and not eat so much ice cream. So the precious child of God is how I want to end. We're coming to the end of the time. As the precious child of God is who we really are. And that's what's at the end of the rainbow, you know, the pot of gold, and who we really are is a precious child of God. And the precious child of God can be very errant because we live in a very imperfect world. But we do the best we can with what we've got left, with all the negative energy that's on the planet. But if we pray, meditate, journal, and go through a process with somebody to clean and clear up our negative stuff, our ego stuff, then we can clear and be who we really are.
Albert, I have loved having you on the show today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me. I've loved this. You're a great woman.
Thank you so very much for this session of Breaking the Silence. This is Carla St. Louis Ryan, and I will be back with you next week.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Breaking the Silence with host Carla St. Rose Ryan. Somewhere in the world, a child is abused every day, and it's time to speak up. If you have something to share with Carla, please send her an email at carla@landofbrokentoys.com. And be sure to join us next week for Breaking the Silence on the Voice America channel.